Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. B-O-O-M.
Please make some noise for the host of Locked On Pelicans. This is Jake Madison!
Jake, welcome back to the party. How do you feel right now?
I feel good. You guys are making me feel better after the way the Pelicans played last night. So yeah. I like the energy and everything. So I feel good.
Good. You should feel good. We're going to just put last night in the finish pile. And like it's a chore that we crossed off the list. And we're going to talk about just other fun things, right?
Just no basketball whatsoever.
No, we're going to talk about basketball, Jake. But I don't want to harp on the past, all right?
We got to look forward.
We have to look forward. We have to be the sweetie patities that the people want us to be, all right?
Okay. Can you demonstrate that for me? What a sweetie patiti sounds like.
A sweetie patiti is not going to dwell on the amount of minutes that certain people played or didn't play for a game that at the time that this podcast goes live was possibly 48 hours ago.
Just depending on when this is uploaded.
You know, we are going to look to the future. We're going to have some fun. And we are live here at the New Movement Theater. For those of you who don't know, this is a full-time comedy venue that has shows every night but Tuesday. We're at 2706 St. Claude Avenue. And we're thrilled to be here again for our third New Orleans Basketball Social Club.
This is pretty cool that we started doing this because we've been getting a lot of people and a lot of interest. And they're just fun to do. And the reception to the podcast from people who listen to it have said they're wonderful. Like, it's a pretty unique thing. No one else is doing anything like this. And, you know, the Pelicans do have a lot of talent on this team. And they're going to be in playoff contention all year. And there should be excitement around this franchise and this team. And this is a way to build that. And also, just like a sense of community. We're all friends now.
Absolutely. And there's also an amazing amount of talent that's going to be at this table with you and me. And I'm excited. I'm going to bring up our first guest. You can bring up our second guest. I'm very excited about this. I met her at Media Day. If you watch basketball on television, you have most certainly seen this person doing her thing on Fox Sports. But ladies and gentlemen, please make some noise for Erin Hartigan. Woo!
And yes, I've already had a shot. So,
Erin Hartigan, you just came.
I literally just landed like 30 minutes ago.
And you were in Memphis. In Memphis?
In Dallas.
Dallas.
So you know, of course, I land and I'm like, bourbon shot. Let's do this, right?
Yeah. At the airport,
and
you asked the flight attendant.
Pelicans basketball. No, I wish we could do this on air. Like, it could be like Kathy Lee and Hoda. Have you ever, right? Like, I'm like, that's my dream, is to be like a Catalina Hoda show where we're like drink on air. I think you'd get better stories from our analysts that way, right?
Oh man, the guests would just be you'd get going off stories. I like that idea.
I wish that the coaching staff and players could just drink whatever they want. You know, a thing that I do, I'm very fortunate.
Ron tested that his rookie year in the locker room at like halftime.
Did he really?
Yeah, you've never heard the stories where he says he would just get a bottle of Hennessy out when he was with the Bulls and just start drinking at halftime and then play the game.
Like my French teacher at Covington High School.
Listen, I'm just saying there's a reason why Alvin's normally burping in post-game interviews. I have heard from Del Harris, swear on everything, I've heard from Del Harris, who's one of our analysts, longtime head coach here in the NBA, that there are some coaches, like maybe Donnie Nelson, cough, cough, former Mavs, that chug a few before they go out for post-game interviews, especially after losses. So if you notice, like, listen closely at Alvin's post-game interviews, there might be a few burps. Not sure what's from, but there's some inside.
I love that. Yeah, I wish that players were allowed to do whatever they want during games. I'm fortunate to have a seat right behind the visitor's bench at the Smoothie King Center, and one of my fun things I do is I often offer the opposing players, po' boys, you know, I'm like, I'll go run up to section 114 and grab you a fried shrimp po' boy if you're hungry right now. And that no one has taken me up on it. A couple of coaches have claimed that they would eat it if I brought it to
Seriously?
Them.
Seriously? Yeah. Okay, not to sidetrack you, but like, how did you become that guy? Like the guy behind the visitor's bench.
The hipster behind the bench.
Like, no, no. Like, he's too modest to say anything, but, like, Draymond knows him as that guy. Dirt knows you as that guy. Like, that's
Twitter
so
knows
cool.
you as the hipster
that's
behind
so cool.
the Pelicans bench.
Like, how did this start? Like, I think that is so fascinating, right? Like, Dirk's like, oh, the guy behind the Pelicans bench, like, he's back, and they love you. Like, how did that start?
I just set a dream and a goal, and then I mowed a lot of lawns. I mowed so many lawns.
Been practicing for years.
I've been practicing for years. You gotta, it's the power of positivity, you know? You gotta put it out into the world, all right?
I love it.
You know what? I'm gonna put something else out in the world right here, right now. I hope that I get to be the Pelicans' 12th man for a game this season.
This is like when the the Mavs had Romo on the bench, right?
Hey, yeah. There you go. We have Chris. They have Romo. We have Chris Drew. Yes.
I feel like we're coming out ahead here.
Pretty much the same thing. let's go ahead and bring out our fourth guest, Jake. Want to do the honors?
Yes, absolutely. So this is a man of many talents. You can hear him be the lead guitarist in Vox and the Hound, local indie band. And also Darcy Malone and The Tangle, and now most recently riding with me over at LockedOnPelicans.com. Please welcome Rory Calais.
Woo!
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. What's up, Rory?
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, welcome to the party. Once again, we are at the New Movement. Live comedy shows happening here all the time. But right now, we have the live Locked On Pelicans podcast. Jake, you do this podcast every single day. That's a lot of podcasts.
It's a lot of podcasts. I don't know the exact number, but I know it's a lot. Monday through Friday.
It's like 365.
Basically.
I feel super close to you. Should I, like, I don't know.
It was fine.
Like,
we were
can
good.
I just, like, kick
yeah.
it? Okay, this is fun.
We're
I'm
all
like
kicking
talking.
It.
Yes.
All right, so here's how this is going to go down. We're going to cut to audience interaction at the end of this. So if y'all have questions you want to ask, again, whether they are silly or serious, so we'll take them. But at the beginning of this, the first half, I have prepared some questions that we're going to do round table style here. I will time you all. I'm going to put a timer on this so that we don't go too long. We are at a comedy theater. You know, when stand-up comics do shows here, we give them lights from the tech booth, like, hey, your time's almost up. I'm not going to light you, but I will time you. I will time you.
You're not going to play the Oscars music? Like,
we don't actually get a hook to, like, pull us off stage? Right.
No hook.
Can you light us? Because that sounds kind of cool.
So the first question I want to ask, and we're going to ease into this, right? We're going to ease into this. First question I want to ask, the home opener is this Friday, a.k.a. tonight for all you listening to the podcast.
Yeah, this is
right
going
now.
Up tomorrow, so like...
Yeah, for sure. So it's a podcast... The podcast is being recorded on Thursday, but that's unnecessary information. Y'all don't give a shit about that.
I do usually do them the day before, and then I'll talk as if it's the future, which then sometimes screws up the rest of my day or the rest of my week because I kind of like lose track of what day
you're
it actually
so locked
is.
On to what you're doing.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was good. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So tonight is the home opener for our New Orleans Pelicans. It's tonight. And we're not there right now because we're here.
And Aaron's drunk. So.
It is tonight at the Smoothie King Center. So this is a little bit of a softball question, but I want us to have some fun with this. I want to know, what is your wish list for a home opener in New Orleans? Now, I don't mean, oh, I want Drew to play good defense and AD to score 30. I mean, what's on your wish list for the home game experience, for the home opener experience? You know, there's some things we can count on, like the free t-shirts over the chairs and a certain type of, you know, video to play. But let's dive a little bit deeper in here. What is your dream home opener situation? Rory?
I know I've been a season ticket holder for a few years. And
how many?
Since 08-09.
Hey. That's more than a game,
I That's pretty good. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Loyalty.
I love that.
Yeah, that's really good.
Long years.
I love that.
10 sweet
no,
years.
No, I've loved every second of it. But they used to have this thing kind of off opposite the visitor's bench where they'd have music.
Yes.
And that's... They phased it out a few years ago, and I'm just, every year at the top of the season, I hope, I'm like, maybe they'll surprise us, and we'll come in, and they'll just be like, Chris Royal and Black Dark Matter there, you know, like something just like cool, just a little side thing. So okay, I'm hoping to be surprised.
So I didn't start till 2012. Like they had music on
Said
the
house
like,
band.
So you know the entrance where all the fan activity, yes, like the big sign, yes, those come out.
Yes.
Where there's like a little bit of a press area. Yeah. That used to be a bandstand. And I have a little bit of like fun weird info on this. I know Hugh Weber, who was the former president of the Hornets, who now works for the New Jersey Devils, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he does.
He had a lot of really fun ideas, and shout out to Hugh Weber, who responded to an email I sent him and agreed to meet me for lunch at Walk-Ons on Voyagers a few years ago.
Nice.
And I mean, I'm not the only one. I discovered that like he was like he just took fans up on like invitations. Because,
like, no, this is like a well-known thing about
it. In a very good way. Like, no one take that and twist it. Like, in a very sweet, like, genuine, like, I want to get to know these fans who care so much.
Wow.
And I may get this kind of wrong. I believe that he was one of the people who pushed that. And so when Hugh Weber left the franchise, I believe that that just left with him. I don't think it went with him to New Jersey because no music comes out of New Jersey.
Right.
But that's
just
not true.
Bruce Springsteen.
I was like,
Bruce Springsteen.
It's like one big name here.
Just Bruce. I feel like
Bruce
should know my like first name. Like, just Bruce.
Yeah. Just Lil B. Just Lil B.
Spring.
But that is a thing I wish was a permanent fixture in the Smoothie King Center. And the way they did it, correct me if I'm wrong, but they had a new local musician who kind of like was featured every time. So they had kind of like a house band, but there was like, oh, it's got Rickle Nelson from the Polyphonic Spree. It's playing violin tonight. Or
I mean,
I'm trying to remember.
From what I remember, I actually think it was different bands every time.
Okay.
And like, so they just book, you know, for the 40 games, they just find whoever else. Now, there might have been some overlap and all that.
And they would just play in breaks? Like,
yeah,
they would just...
Yeah,
or
like,
they play
like
a
house,
like,
so just play
like a house band on like a talk show or something.
Yeah.
That would separate the Smoothie King Center from the rest of it, right? It's like
also,
things that are going to make us unique and draw fans.
Yeah, exactly.
That
exactly
would be something people would, and with social media nowadays, like people would be tweeting about it, you know.
No,
so Aaron,
whatever.
Yeah,
give me your dream scenario for home opener.
So outside of like chocolate bread pudding and Rondo getting a little you know, I want to see New Orleans like rally around this, right? Like I love, you know, you see the fans obviously early on in the season, but you know, it's I just, there's something about that place like on opening night. I mean, it is just rocking. Everyone's like ready for basketball, they're excited about it. I would like to see more spacing and more ball movement. No, I mean, I'm seriously. But I mean, you know, I just want to see New Orleans rally around basketball again. Like, kind of get back to those days. David Wesley, who is on the play-by-play call with Joel Myers, of course, always talks about the days when he was here. They were the Hornets, of course. And, you know, this was something that fans had circled on their calendar. You know, they rallied around basketball. He wants to get back to those days. And I think with the additions of Boogie and Rondo and big stars like the, you know, them plus AD, I think we could get back to there.
I think so too.
Oh, I
want
that totally place. Agree.
I want it to be rocking. We will be stationed. Our pre and post game will be stationed in the atrium, like the main atrium that you come in and out, you know, coming in and out of. So if you guys are out there tomorrow night, come see us. Come like stand behind us. Come heckle David and AD.
And bring her a chocolate bread pudding.
It's a big game, so usually the media room has like good food, and one of the desserts is like chocolate bread pudding in there like all the time.
That is my
on like big games.
So, Jake, what do you have?
So I know they're doing t-shirts for everyone. I don't know what color, but I'm hoping they're red, and I hope everyone puts them on.
Are for sure navy blue.
Okay, so I hope they're navy blue, and I hope everyone puts them on, and we go with the blue out, which sounds way worse than a red out.
Well, hey, guess what size they all are?
I would assume extra, extra larges.
They big, because what we do in this year. They're all big size.
So, okay, can I...
They should call them...
Here's what I'm going to hope for.
Yeah.
No, so I'm saying, I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of the Pelicans do it big hashtag because it looks like dolt big.
Yes,
in
thank
action.
You.
But what I was trying to push, and I pushed this on ESPN Radio in Baton Rouge and down here with Matt Moscona yesterday, and I'm going to try and make this a thing. Yeah. I say they need to be called the Big Birds.
Okay.
Like, how is... No? Think about, like,
the memes
and everything
that.
You
like,
can make, like, double
big?
Big Birds. And also then someone made the joke of, Well, Big Bird doesn't have any wings, just like the Pelicans don't have any wings right now, so it's a little more appropriate.
So
let's all rally around the Big Birds. And again, it's like Aaron was saying, let's just get wild in there tomorrow night and just kind of build on something. And, you know, when big-name teams come to town, you see people in Steph Curry jerseys, you're going to see Durant jerseys. None of that. Put on the navy blue t-shirts and let's scream.
But I think a thing that
like who can get behind a navy out?
Navy.
I think a thing that people that not everyone fully realizes, and I'm guilty of this too to a certain extent, because I for sure get kind of riled up when I see the I call them the Slidell Lakers or the the Covington Warriors. You know,
I love it. No disrespect
to Slidell and Covington people, but I just feel like they're coming from Slidell to in their Kobe jerseys.
Kinder Cavaliers.
Yeah, the Kinder Cavaliers.
That's the alliteration.
I love it.
That is so great.
Took my formula and you improved upon it. I got to respect that. But that is standard in
like
NBA
around,
arenas
just in
all
general.
Over the country. Which I don't mean any shade thrown towards people who have only been to our arena, but you go to a Phoenix Suns Miami Heat game and you will see people in LeBron James jerseys.
Mm-hmm. So my
it's like when people go to a Metallica concert and wear a damn Carly Rae Jepsen shirt. Shout out to Carly Rae, not to Metallica.
Hey, see, first name basis.
Yeah, he just knows everyone. Well, my first year of having season tickets before I was even writing and doing anything with the team, it was that year, Chris Paul's last year, and they went like 7-0 to start the season or something like that, and they were playing the Heat and beat them in like the big three of the Heat's like one of their first games. It was game five. I remember this clearly. And this guy in front of me comes in wearing like a Chris Paul Hornets jersey and a Miami Heat hat. And we're like, who is this dude?
Yeah.
And so my friends and I were talking to him, heckling him a little bit. You know, like you're behind the bench thing, Chris, behind the fans here.
It's interacting and eavesdropping. It's not heckling.
And he was like, no, I've been a Miami Heat fan for so long. The dude still had the tags. Not like the 52 or whatever sticker on the flat brim hat. Had the tag on the hat. And he was like, no, I've had this for years. And we're like, yeah, we got you.
Yeah, they're like, I've had it since when did we win the first championship?
I was like, Leo, you've had it since Wednesday here.
All right, I want to move on to the next question. So one part that I did want to focus on from the opening game against Memphis was what happened with DeMarcus Cousins and the fan interaction that he had. So for those of you who don't know, he got a technical, right? Jake, you want to tell us what happened?
Yeah, it was late in the game. There were like 50 seconds left in the game or something, and all of a sudden he got teed up, and everyone was a little confused, and it turns out there was a fan that was heckling him. He said something back to him, and recently the NBA is trying to crack down on fan behavior, bad fan behavior, because we saw this a couple times with Boogie last season, particularly in LA, where people were saying some awful, awful things to him, and at a certain point, you are human, and he said this, you're going to react and like clap back at them. I think I used that phrase right. So he'd said something, and like they'd sent an email to anyone that had like courtside tickets being like, look, you're close to fans, you're close to players, you need to be civil. And then I think they eventually ejected the fan that said something to whatever it was, and they sent her a little sticker or something, being like,
Did they really do this again?
Yeah, I believe so.
All we saw was like the security guard like patting her, like, hey, it's okay, it's okay. You know,
he
and
said
it's like,
that. Yeah, we weren't sure what happened, but maybe they weren't ejected, but something was weird going on there, so that's the scenario.
So my question to you all is let's say there was a high stakes game on the line. Mm-hmm. You have the ability to say whatever you want to a player on the opposing team. Your mission is to get in their head and try to impact their shot selection or their focus. I want to keep it. I want your answers to be classy because I don't want any of you to get the card that kicks you out of the game. I also don't want to give you a card that kicks you off of this podcast or this theater, right?
Facts.
So what would you say to someone whose head you were trying to get into at a key moment of the game?
I mean, the mama jokes always, right? I mean, like, mama's kind of that's where you don't go, so that's where I would go, right?
But I need more specifics, Aaron. What your mama jokes?
Like, okay, honestly, like, I know, like, and I'm sure you know of some, but there are some people.
Yeah, every comedian is classically trained in all your mama jokes.
Yes, but they actually do research, right? So, like, I played college ball, and we would have hecklers, like, at all our games, and it was, like, they would do research on, like, their, like, girlfriends or their moms or their whatever. So, if their mom worked at, like, Pack a Sack was like a convenience store or whatever in the town that I played, but which is a great name for a convenience store. but you know, like they would lose, like if his mom would like worked at Walmart or whatever, you know, like make jokes about like, you know, like you would go personal, right?
Sure.
And anytime you take a dig at mama, like I feel like it would cause someone to snap. I mean, it would cause me to snap, right?
Okay.
I like on a side note, I fear that like something said last night to Boogie was something like. He doesn't snap like that at fans unless it is something maybe to the, you would hope it wasn't anything like racist, right?
I would seriously doubt it was. I don't, if I had to take a pick, I would guess it wasn't that. I guess yeah. I would guess it was just relentless nastiness.
Yeah.
You know?
Just hoping it's
so
that, yeah.
I want to give a little inside, just because we have the Pels fans here, I want to give a little inside too. Like, so Del Harris, of course, was on the set with me last night, and he said immediately in that moment, you saw Boogie go to Alvin, and you know he was kind of explaining the situation to him. Del said, "If I were in that position as a head coach, I'm out there getting in someone's face, getting a tech to let him off the hook, to like to show that you're backing your player, right?" Like Del said, like it hit, like just that was his mindset as a head coach. I wish he would have shared it on air. He didn't, but I thought that was fascinating. He was
yeah,
like, normally in those
yeah.
moments, like. You go out there, you get your own tech to let him off the hook. Because otherwise, it kind of makes him look bad, you know? Like,
yeah,
he's the
that
only
makes
one
sense,
out there
actually.
Hanging. But Del was like, a great head coach would be out there, like, backing his player. Getting one himself.
Jake,
you know?
what would you say? What's your move?
So, you actually know the story. I did this with you a couple of years ago when we did, like, a Hornets 24/7 thing at the Old New Movement Theater. So, I'm going to use an actual story, if I can.
Wow.
And this, I'm from Los Angeles, so it was a Clipper game back when Gary Payton was on the Sonics and still before the Lakers Gary Payton, so he's still old Gary Payton at this time. And we were sitting courtside with a friend of mine from high school, like, I don't know, sophomores or something in high school, whatever it was. And we were heckling him all game, to just talking about how old he was and just saying, you're old. He was old. And eventually, that's all we were doing. But, you know, he's a notorious trash talker in the league, like considered one of the best or one of the most notorious ones. He said something back to us, and he just looked at us and goes, "Your mama's old." And then we kept screaming at him, and then he just goes towards the end of the game. I think they won. He's walking off the court. He just goes, "By the way, I made more money this game than your parents make in a year," and just left. So I got in his head because he talked back to me, but I think he won.
Mic drop.
One of my very first times in my seats, I was talking to Kenneth Faried, and that's what he told me. Yeah. He was like, "I just want you to know I make way more money than you."
Yeah.
I was
and
like,
how do you
that's
beat
not,
that? Yeah,
that's
right?
Not a point of debate here. My dude. I paid to be here. You didn't. All right, Rory, what you got?
All right, so I was thinking something like personal but not offensive. So, like, for example, if the Celtics are in town and Kyrie's there, try to get one of those, like, keychains that's a little globe and just kind of point to, like, around the whole time.
Ooh,
just don't
like
say anything.
It.
Just be like, you know. Or, you know, Durant's got the Tupac tattoo, so wear a Biggie shirt. Something like that. You know? Yeah.
And yeah.
Just
like kind of
just point to it. You
see,
know?
Research. See, research. You got to research
that.
It. Yeah, do you, like, question for you being the heckler behind the visitor's event, did you research anything with these guys?
I've done some research, but I would say the brand is all, like, weird fun. Like, probably my favorite story to illustrate this is Matt Bonner. I found out that at South by Southwest, because I'm in Austin all the time, so I'm pretty familiar with South by stuff. Found out that he hosted a party where the Walkmen were playing, and because it's his favorite band. And so when he was playing in the Smoothie King Center, I was just telling him how much the Walkmen were a bad band. and eventually he turned around and he went, "What are you talking about?" Like, they're really good.
I love that.
It was so much fun. And cut to a few years later at All-Star Weekend this year, I hosted a comedy show that his brother Luke Bonner helped put on, and Luke introduced me to Matt, and Matt remembered me, and it was fun. We talked a lot, and but Matt was just like, "You're the friendly heckler from
New
Orleans."
Walkman sucks.
It was very funny, and the Walkman
so cool.
Do suck. Let's move on to our next question. All right, kind of a fun one here, a little bit of a thinker. I want to hear a hot take from each of you of which, putting you in the position of a Pelicans fan, which fan base are you most envy of? and most envious of in the NBA. Now, I don't want an easy answer. I don't want a Golden State answer because they are good. I want to hear an answer that's like, oh, this city and this market because they are like this. Aaron, what you got?
San Antonio is the first one that comes to mind. I mean, they are as loyal as it comes. But I mean, that place is rocking each and every day. No matter the opponent, no matter, you know, I don't know. I wish, and I love Greg Popovich. Like, that's my guy, man, you know. And it's like, it's just, it's in my significant other, the half that gets to put up with me is what I call him. He's from San Antonio. And so, like, that's all they had growing up was Spurs basketball. And so, I mean, that's what they live for. And so those fans, just having been to a few games, just regular season, I'd give anything to have that, like, every night here, right? Because you just feed off of it, you know? I mean, that like, a lot of the energy, and I know that some of the players are, like, having interviewed Kawhi and whatnot. I mean, it's just, like, you feed off of that. Like, that definitely plays a part. So I wish our guys had that,
cool.
You know?
Cool. We're getting there. Rory.
This is going to sound weird.
The pause after is perfect.
Philly.
Really?
I have an old friend, he got blown up to Philly and Katrina, and he's there now, and he is drinking the Kool-Aid on it. And just
he's trusting the process?
The irrational hope that this man has. I'm just like, it's like a kid who believes in Santa Claus. Like, it's just like, just
so how,
like,
does he feel about Embiid's minute restrictions still?
It doesn't matter. He's the greatest center of all time. Like, you know, like, it's just like, I just want to, like, know, like, that enthusiasm, like, completely baseless and irrational, but I just envy how happy you are right now, you know?
And they have good cheesesteaks.
And the cheesesteaks, right. Yeah.
They do. Yeah.
And Rocky.
But they put weird, weird, gross cheese on other things.
Yes!
Though.
Why is that? That's like a podcast for another time.
Right? Yeah.
The cheese podcast.
Locked on cheese.
Locked on cheese.
Locked on cheese whiz.
6 hours daily on cheese whiz.
We're going to need to go way more than, like, 30 minutes a day if we're doing Locked On Cheese.
All right, Jake, so I want to hear your perspective on this. So, reminder for the people who don't know, you are from Los Angeles.
I'm not going to pick them, though.
Okay, great. Keep going.
I'm also not going to pick Seattle because they don't have a team. I considered it for a second, though. No, there's a couple of places that, you know, that you'd want to pick, but I'm actually going to go Memphis, who the Falcons played the other night. They've got a very clear identity, that grit and grind, and, like, these are fans who knew they were never going to win the finals or never make the finals, but they didn't care. They were totally cool losing in the second round of the playoffs every year, and they had so much fun. Look at the reception that Tony Allen got the other night there, where they're going to retire his jersey number, and he's still playing in the league for an in-conference, in-division rival. That's pretty awesome. And Memphis has really good barbecue.
Hey, that's, and
like, that's important to me.
Reason, right?
Sun there you Studios, go. Graceland, you know?
There you go.
I love it. All right, last question before we move to the audience here. So, Buddy Hield was got the cardboard cutout treatment at Smoothie King. There was a cardboard cutout of Buddy Hield, and the promotion was give your smoothie a buddy. When they were trying to do enhancements for your smoothie. So give your smoothie a buddy, throw some protein in it, and our dude Buddy Hield with the 24 jersey was... I'm not making this up.
No, I know. It's just the most ridiculous thing, but it's like actually kind of like brilliant.
This is real. So quick sidebar, the day after the trade, I went straight to my closest Smoothie King to see what happened, and the buddy cutout was gone, and I asked the manager if I could see the cutout, and she went and got the cutout and brought it out to me.
No.
And I got to hang out with the Buddy Hield cutout.
After he was traded?
Yeah, after he was traded. Cause
they had to
remove it. So I was like, can I get the Buddy Hield cutout? And she's like, you can't have it, but you can hang out with it.
Chris Drew, ladies and
gentlemen. So I hung out with the Buddy Hield cutout. But my question to you all, let's say that we are Smoothie King now. We are Smoothie King. Are the person who is responsible for brand integration between Smoothie King and the New Orleans Pelicans. And we have to replace this promotion, okay? We have to use a current player to replace this promotion.
Oh,
some in Smoothie King marketing, using a current player, replacing Give Your Smoothie a Buddy. What are we doing here? We got to move some smoothie units, y'all. All right.
Sales are sagging, and we need
sales
something.
Are doing great, Jake. All right. It's just that you know, Portland gives away Jamba Juice coupons, and we're, you know, that's our new rival as far as I'm concerned. That's our frozen beverage rival. Y'all know that? The Moda Center, they give out Jamba Juice coupons. They
Seriously?
Score something like that. Man, get out of here with that garbage. Sweet the king all day.
Well, you remember, what was it? It used to be you would get free McDonald's fries if the Pelicans scored over 100.
Yes, whatever happened to that? I think it's
Raising Cane's now. But do you remember what happened where the Pelicans had 99 points and Lance?
Lance. So David Wesley used to get so jacked on broadcast. Like when we scored 100, right?
Yeah, that's exactly when we scored 100.
Free fries. Yeah. So he's like that was. So we would talk about that in the post game show because if we were that bad, it was like, hey, free fries.
I had to cut this part of the conversation off.
We just jumped all over the place.
I'm just so upset with people who root for the fries at the end.
Well, it's the most ridiculous thing. They were at 99 points
on fries on post-game show.
And Lance Thomas missed a free throw that would have given him 100, and everyone was so mad at him that they didn't get their free small fries.
What did he do?
He showed up at a McDonald's on Canal Street the next day and bought free small fries with his own money for anyone that showed up because he was getting
David
it.
Wesley there?
So, probably showed up from what it sounds like.
That's the best free fry story I've ever heard in my life.
He tweeted out, he's like, I'm going to be here. If you come, I will buy you a free. They're small fries. It's like 99 cents. Like, come on. And he was there and he said like a couple hundred people showed up.
That's awesome.
Hang that dude's jersey in the rafters and retire. That was the other thing.
The Pelicans won that game, but fans were upset because they hit 99 points.
I'm all about fans having fun and picking weird things to rally around. Too much of that is bad for me.
Okay, how about something along the lines of like Boogie slimming up this offseason? You know something about like, hey, like weight loss. Strict like a sugary smoothie king. You know what I mean?
Aaron, you haven't been a smoothie king in a while. Let me tell you something. I did not work for smoothie king. However, they are cutting out all kinds of weird stuff from their smoothies. I know this because I go there. I go there a fairly regular amount.
The company man here.
You mentioned hanging out with Buddy Heald cut out there.
We had a really nice time.
We know.
Conversation was stimulating. You know,
but a really interesting thing though, when the Smoothie King deal happened for the naming rights, they did have to look at their recipe and be like, we can't be throwing turbinado and everything in the buckets. And so they did. Like they didn't want to get targeted for any sort of like, yo, a sugary drink, even though there's the Pepsi Center in Denver. Anyway, we have to figure out what our smoothie promotions are. I like your idea for Cool. Jake, what do you have?
So I'm still going to go with DeMarcus Cousins and Boogie here, but I'm going to get a little bit different. Remember, he doesn't do this anymore, but after the Saints would win, there was the Benson Boogie, and he'd be dancing around with the umbrella after games. So how about a promotion where after the team wins, they give out little mini smoothies to people. We call them the Boogie Smoothies, and everyone can kind of dance around the arena.
I love that.
Hey, the like two-ounce
two the ounce smoothies.
Will do that, right? There you go.
Sugar in the raw,
kids,
yo.
Kids of Terminado High. That's what we need.
All right, Rory, what you got?
See, I'm thinking if we're going to, you know, it's really volatile with our players at the top, right? So I'm thinking if I'm going to sink a bunch of money into an ad campaign, I want it when someone's going to be here a while. So keep your body in check.
Ooh. That's pretty good.
That's good too.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Damn it, he wins.
You win.
If we're actually doing the scoring tonight, who would have gotten like the 3 points there?
No, that's a really good idea. I love that. And you know, I just want to, every time I get an opportunity in some sort of platform, I want to remind everyone that the Smoothie King Center is the best named arena in the entire NBA. Name a better one, Aaron. You've been all over the place.
No, seriously. David Wesley will tell you. I mean, he gets a smoothie brought to him before every game.
Like, every
name an arena that brings every, you a smoothie before every game.
And back in the day when they had the Louisiana Seafood promotion, they would bring Louisiana Seafood to every. Cause I remember before I had moved back here post-storm, I lived in Austin, Texas for a while, and watching League Pass, it used to really frustrate me. I think I actually wrote a post about this for Hornets 24/7 back in the day. The opposing team's player broadcasters, they would get the plate of seafood, and half of them would be like, this is amazing because the whole campaign was it's okay to eat Louisiana seafood despite the oil spill.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yes.
some people were like, I'm not touching this. It was like, yo, you can't say that on TV. Now everyone in Milwaukee or whatever, like, ain't gonna come here and eat the food. Yeah. That's fucked up.
Right? Right?
It really is.
Who doesn't come to New Orleans and like not eat Cajun? You know what I mean? You know, like, who doesn't come here and doesn't eat Cajun food, right?
I don't know.
Like,
Aaron, that's,
but I think Phil Jackson doesn't eat the food.
Well, he's not allowed it. He's banned from the season.
Yeah, I don't think he.
This is true.
All right, so we are. That's the end of the first half of this. Well, more than half, to be honest. But we want to go to the crowd here and chat with y'all. Take whatever questions you all have for any of us up here or for all of us. Questions, silly, serious, whatever you got. It's your time to shine. What we have, New Movement Theater, right here.
Okay, I have an opinion on this, but I want to know your opinion. So, last night was ugly, but we're forgetting that.
We're playing 81 this year. It's right. Only 81.
It's an 81 game season from now on.
Let's go.
When Rajon Rondo comes back, probably mid-November, do you think that will be enough to save the season by the end of the season?
All right, Jake, do you think when Rajon Rondo comes back mid-November that will be enough to save the season?
The other night wasn't good, but they still have enough talent where Boogie and Davis should get you wins. Like, should. You need to get some help from them. They had an off-shooting night. I don't think they're going to shoot 7 of 25 for the entire season in games and have it be that poorly. Drew Holiday is better than what we saw the other night. I'm not as high on him as other people, but he's better than what we saw the other night. They're going to get some help. They also have a stretch of not good teams coming up. You're going to go to Portland, who doesn't play any defense. Yeah, they killed the Suns the other night. By the way, did everyone see the weird thing where the Suns all moved at the same time? Because that's maybe one of the weirdest, funniest things I've ever seen. It makes me really happy for some reason.
It's like fundamental basketball at its finest. Really,
they all just turned and ran, all five guys in like a formation. It's bizarre. Like, how does that happen? But like, you know, they don't play defense. These guys are going to be able to score against them. The Lakers are still not good, no matter having the best player in the history of the world in the second overall pick in Lonzo Ball and his dad. So they're going to win a bunch of games. And Rondo coming back is going to be really key for them. You have to figure they're going to explore the trade market to kind of tread water. Not trade market. Free agent market to try and tread some water right now. They'll be okay. The schedule, it's 8 of the first 12 on the road. That's rough, but some of them are against bad teams.
Love that. We're actually going to spread the questions around. Thank you.
Yeah.
Can
I say too? I think Drew will perform better at the two. He was forced to play the one. He's being forced to play the one, obviously, right now with Rondo out. I can tell you at media day, he was jacked to play off the ball this year. I think Drew struggled last year with playing point because he struggled with knowing when to shoot, when to disperse, and who to disperse to, right? And so he doesn't have to make that decision. Like, he doesn't have that decision making on the two ball, right? So then when Rondo comes back, that takes that away from him. I think Drew will be our scorer because here's the thing. AD and Boogie are going to get theirs, right? They're going to get their numbers. But we have to have a shooter. I think Drew will be that when Rondo takes over point.
Love that. Let's get another question out here. Yes, sir.
Despite how fast Rajon Rondo may or may not come back, Do you think the Pels add another point guard to the roster?
All right, Rory, do the Pels add another point guard?
I think they might, because my irrational hope guy is Ian Clark. I think he will wind up being better than we saw last night, but I don't think it's going to be before Rondo comes back. Right. So I would guess probably in the next week or two that they might start looking at options.
I mean, the name out there right now is Jameer Nelson, who was just cut from the Denver Nuggets, and it makes sense to bring in this guy, who, by the way, was with Chris Finch last year, who's now with the Pelicans. I don't think that connection needs to be that strong. You need a guy who can kind of run the point for this team, because they struggled with that against Memphis. After the first quarter, they had like 7 assists, the next 3. That's not a good number. Gentry said the day before that game, that Tuesday, that ball movement is part of this team's DNA. You will see them move the ball. They didn't move the ball. You got to get a guy in who's going to move the ball. I like Jordan Crawford. I was all for him maybe starting alongside Drew Holiday and kind of doing that because he's a guy that can attack the defense, get him on their back heels and kind of turned around to allow for cutters to come through once they're not looking at their man the entire time. He didn't look good the other night. I think you might need to look at like a 36-year-old point guard coming in who can still play is actually a very useful piece right now.
I think he was forced to. I think Crawford. I saw Crawford play Memphis's pace the other night, and when he's best at playing fast pace, this entire team is better when they're fast paced. That's why I love. I hate to say I love Tim Frazier. He was a pusher. He was a pace guy. Like he would up the tempo, right? And I don't know. I didn't see that the other night. We were forced into Memphis's slow paced ball. And that's exactly what they try to do to you,
that's,
right? When you
that's what they
that,
want.
That's yeah. what they want.
You,
right?
you got to get a guy that's going to dictate tempo for you and not be forced to play the other team's
and
game.
I had heard another little inside. So Crawford's nickname last year was Instant Grits because he would come in and he'd like score right away, right? Which is right. what we needed last year.
Right.
I was told this year like they don't like that nickname because they don't want him to come in and feel he needs to score right away when that's what he does best, right? So I think he's struggling. I think he's mentally he's struggling.
It's a little conflicting right there.
Like, I'm best at scoring right away. Do you want more points or do you want, you know what I'm saying? So hopefully they'll get that fixed here in the home opener.
Get another question from somebody in the crowd here. Yes, sir.
So obviously we don't want anybody to get hurt. The Bulls had a real fight for the power forward position. Station. Who would we take at the wing in a battle?
Wait, hold on.
I'm confused, but I like where you're going. But
so wait, are we saying that our wings
yes,
are
yes.
fighting
wings
in their current in their current states?
Mm-hmm.
So we have, so you have like, wait, hold on. So,
but they have to have boxing gloves because we obviously don't want.
Okay.
So
the question is here of the three wings that the Dolphins have.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, who
so,
are they?
And you said in their current state, so we have currently like torn hamstring Solomon Hill with boxing gloves
we have,
on.
We have each you, one who shows up every other three games.
Yeah, then we've got Darius Miller who hasn't played in the NBA and has been going in the German League. And then we have Dante Cunningham who's Dante Cunningham. Should I just roll with this one
yeah.
to start? So if we're throwing him in, this is funny because like the first year I started writing about the team, I got bored one day and had nothing to write about, so I wrote about a fake boxing match between David West and Zaza Pachulia, both guys who boxed in the off season, and just I kind of more or less plagiarized like a WWE article and just subbed out the
Love
names
it.
And like posted it, and like that
it.
Was what I did for like a day's worth of content. So maybe I'm the expert on answering this, but if we're getting like a boxing ring, we're having like Friday night fights with Pelicans players. I'm taking Dante Cunningham. No questions asked. One, he's probably the healthiest and strongest of them all. Like,
Chris is terrified right now.
Maybe you take Solomon Hill, but that hamstring injury. Like, man, this guy is not going to be nimble on. He can't float like a butterfly then. Mm. Also, do you see Cunningham's trucks? He goes like mudding for fun.
Yeah, that's
like that dude is not the dude I want to mess
yeah.
with.
Yeah, that dude does like he fishes and probably doesn't even use fishing poles.
just spear fishes or just
yeah.
grabs them with his hand.
He's a big Lord. Drone guy, I hear. Is it even a drone guy? He races drones.
Oh, I thought you were suggesting that he is
oh,
a
oh,
drone.
Okay. See, all of the above.
Okay.
I'm taking Dante Cunningham.
Okay.
Question, where did Darius Miller play when he was not in the league?
Germany.
Oh, yeah. See, he's learning these like dirty Euro tricks. You know, like you know, you can't.
He sweeps
count
the
that
leg.
Out. You can't count that
Kentucky,
out.
Andy's
you know?
A Kentucky Wildcat.
Yeah, you know, like there's
the European characters on the Super Punch-Out games were always the most formidable. So maybe you're onto something.
There. Right, like I'm thinking like an Ivan Drago situation.
Yeah,
you know,
for
like,
sure.
you know, like
okay.
Yeah,
sure.
All right, we have time for one more question here at the New Movement for this live Locked On Pelicans podcast. Throw this question at me. Yes, sir.
Did any of you guys worry about DeMarcus Cousins picking up that technical? Do you see that as an aberration, or do you think he's on the wrong path this season mentally?
Anyone worried about that technical from DeMarcus Cousins? Is he on the wrong path, right?
So I talked to some people who are in the Memphis organization after the game, and they had mentioned this is an outsider's perspective looking at a guy, but people who are deeply involved in the league, they're concerned about it. They're like, it's game one. This guy knows he shouldn't get texted, and he goes out and picks one up. His explanation was, you know, he's a grown man, and someone's treating him like this. You don't take that, and if that were any of us, we'd probably say something back to him. So I'm conflicted about it. Like, at a certain point, I like what the NBA is doing, cracking down on this. I mean, like, stop it. You guys can't act like this. Your fans, be better.
Uh-huh.
But if you're him, you know you can't get that technical foul. I'm not, like, super mad at him about it. But, you know, game one, when this guy is known to have
yeah.
issues picking up techs and kind of has a reputation with the refs, you want to get away from that, don't you? Like, at a certain point, you don't want to feed that reputation, so you want to move away from it. But at the other point, we are all human, and I get it, and I would be pissed, and I'd probably say something too, so I don't want to fault him that much.
Well, and this is a contract season for him, so you would think he is not wanting to rack him up. That, you know what I mean? You think he's going to be cognizant of that this year as well. That's obviously why he slimmed down in the offseason, right? I mean, he wants to get his numbers this year, and he wants to have a good season. So you would think he would at least keep those in check this season with big contract year.
Yeah, you're totally right. I'm hoping that prevails. I'm a little worried in the sense, like, it's just if he kind of feels like coming into the season feeling good for the first time in a while, and if things don't go well the first few games, I'm worried that could snowball into something ugly. But, like you said, contract year, and I think he has an equal in ADB in there, so he has someone who could kind of just pull him aside and be like, hey.
He probably...
You know what? And honestly, I think Rondo is the guy to keep him in check. And Boogie was a big recruiter in getting Rondo. He was the biggest recruiter. Dell Demps will tell you that. Boogie was the reason Rondo's here. And so, I know they have a great relationship. And Rondo, like, he doesn't put up with shit. And he is that... I mean, he is that veteran. He's a coach. You know, and I think that's why he and Rick Carlisle didn't get along in Dallas, was because, like, Rick didn't allow him to be there. I think Alvin may let him kind of, like, take over this team and at least, like, rally the troops. So he's not going to put up with that shit.
One of the things I got asked for our network here, the Locked On Podcast Network, when I did a preview for the Pels on the Locked On NBA channel, was who has kind of the most riding on this season for the Pelicans? And it's likely DeMarcus Cousins. This guy's going to be a free agent coming up from potential max deal. If he has a down year, there's not a lot of cap room league-wide. He might not get that max deal because teams just don't have the room to spend on it. And also, if you have a guy who's getting technicals and doesn't shed kind of the negative reputations, deserved or undeserved, like, this is a great human. Recently in The Advocate, they had a wonderful story about the work he does in Mobile. Mm-hmm. Everyone who knows this guy loves and adores him, but he does have a negative reputation that is around the league. Mm-hmm. If you're him, you want to try and shed that this year, like you said, Aaron, in a contract year especially.
Well, I think there's a lot that the fans here in New Orleans can do to be that, to provide that loving nest for our dude to be a part of.
He said that, though. He still says people.
And you know what? I want to take back what I said at the beginning of this podcast. I have a new dream I want to put out to the world. I hope that that the NBA allows me to absorb every extra technical foul that DeMarcus Cousins
gets. Just call it on Chris.
They gotta suspend me. I'll take the suspension. I'll take the L. And I'll watch Aaron on TV at my house.
You go out there, get a tech for him to let him off the hook. Then you join us on the post game show.
Okay, I don't know if I'm gonna do that. I don't want to get one of those cards that homegirl in Memphis. That's cool. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for the podcast. Jake, you want to take it out?
Yeah, so normally I play outro music brought to you by the wonderful indie who rocked the head, Box and the Hound here, that Rory is the lead guitarist for. But I don't have it, and we're not going to put it in because we are going to go live. So can you just clap us all out, everybody?
Actually, I want to plug the next time we do this. The next time
do
this,
we have dates
it
and
is
stuff
going to be
we're organized.
Tuesday, November 14th is our next New Orleans Pelicans Basketball Social Club. Tuesday, November 14th, and we have a different format for that show. For those of you who are here right now, we're very grateful for all of you. For those of you listening, I'll say it so Jake doesn't have to. Subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. And come to this theater and watch comedy shows and watch the next podcast. And there's a lot of Pelican sites out there right now. Go to all of them. Bookmark all the mugs. Homepage. Make all of them your collective homepage. And keep supporting the local media that is covering the team. And Jake, congratulations on launching Locked On Pelicans.
Thank you. I'm excited here.
Yeah, and we'll see you next month.
Next time.